You will, Brother Bill coming down, turn into your, in your Bibles to Habakkuk. And that is right before Zebediah and right after Nahum. Habakkuk chapter 3. Good to you this week.
Forever, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for saving me and for watching over you. Lord, as many times as you have fallen, he's been with you because
Amen.
I ain't even saying you haven't broken yet, but I just pray that you don't and you'll keep watching over him. And I just want to thank him for being with me for a broken arm this year and a broken nose. And it's been rough and tough, but he's been there. He bought me through it. I just want to thank him.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Before everybody, well, we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk, and it's going to be in chapter 3. But before I get into it, I just want to thank the Lord for being with me each and every day. And each time that I fall or whatever, or each pain that I have, I thank the Lord for each and every one of them, because if I didn't know him as my Savior and as my keeper and as my healer and my that touches me every day, I could not even get up in the morning. But I do thank you, the church. I thank each one of you for your prayers. And my prayer is that God will use me as long as he sees fit. Man, and not only that I can bring a little some kind of hope and some kind of joy to individuals and individuals' lives. But I do thank God for his touch on my life. Sometimes I'm at home and I said, Lord, I just don't understand. There's a whole lot in the Word of God I don't understand. And there's a whole lot that you pass on to me and ahead of me and everything that I don't look at and I don't think about it. But I don't understand it. And I'm not supposed to. Because if I was supposed to understand it, I would be just as bad as someone else that would go out here and go behind the house or behind the old oak tree or something that we have, and I would take the pistol that I would borrow from somebody, because I don't own one, and I would just commit suicide. But I know the Lord has something in mind, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, I've come to you with this prayer before, and I'm going to come with it until either you take me home or you touch my life. And I love each and every one of you. I may not even tell you that often. I may not even show you. But I do love each and every one of you in your own specific ways. You know, we don't have but 8 people, but we got 8 individuals have different lives. And we think about different things that appear to us. But this morning, I want to get on the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. And I might go to one other verse before, after this is read. But before I get started, is there anybody else, maybe something you have forgot about or something, and you just want to thank the Lord for His mercy, thank Him for His grace, and thank Him for being with you each and every day when we're on the highway and when we're out traveling, and always thank Him that He will give us the voice of reasons to tell people that we come in contact with. And we come in contact with people each and every day. So if there's anybody else who wants to just maybe add that to what you already said or something, you can do it right now. But until then, after that, we're going to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3.
Donnie, I would like the church, I forgot about it, to pray for my cousin, James Hodge.
Yeah.
He just all of a sudden just started falling. He'd stand up, he'd fall. And the doctors, he went to every hospital, I think it was, university it sounded like, but they finally found out it's something rare, and it's in the muscles and nerves in his back, around his spinal column. They didn't want him walking at all, but he did one day, and he fell and dragged away and messed his nose up too. No, but now he's paralyzed on his right leg and arm, but he's using a walker right now, I think, too, because he said he just drags his leg, but he's having a hard time. He's sort of like Donnie. My cousin, and my niece and her husband went up there the other day and said he got to crying, said he just couldn't do anything he used to do, because he's real big with God's pit crew. He went on all the trips that they went on. At one time he was driving big equipment or transfer truck or something for them. But it's hard, you know, he's had to give up everything too. But right now he is paralyzed, but they talked like eventually he'll be completely paralyzed. And he's a little older than I am. He's still in his 70s, but, you know, a little young. He still gets some activity. Just pray for him that maybe God will touch him in a way he can get going again.
You know, and what she just said, the Lord just spoke to me about it and said, you know, I think what the Lord is trying to do himself, he's trying his very best to use the Christian to get unsaved saved. And we know that the church, it's probably the least number that's been in the church in a long time. Or maybe ever. I don't know. But we do know this. God has his own plan and how it's going to end up. in his hand. And we must thank the Lord for each and every day that he gives us by faith and through the name of the Lord. Because I tell you, I thank him every day. But here in the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in, neither shall fruit be in thee, shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singers on my string instruments. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, thank you for your marvelous grace. That God, that you will provide your grace to the individual's lives, Father, if they will just come and believe and trust him as their Savior. And I know, Lord, this day and time, it seems like it's just hard to be a Christian. It's hard to just serve you, Lord, because it's people all around us. They're using foul language, and they're using this and that to get what they want. But we need to do what we can to bless you, Father, and to bless the Son. And we do thank you. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for prayer. And thank you, Lord, that you do speak to each one of us that only you can do. Like the Word of God says, you speak to us with a small, still voice. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fall, and the field shall yield from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hind feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my strange instruments. This Ray Allen uses thought about only the last two or three scriptures that I've read. I just want to thank God anyhow. Just want to thank Him. I may not be able to make it out of the church today and get in my automobile and go home. I may not do it, but I'm going to thank the Lord anyhow. Habakkuk said, we have gotten trouble. We got troubles on every hand. But I'll just thank God anyhow for all the troubles that we have. We all have troubles from time to time. You know, you got troubles when you wake up face down on the pavement. I've been there. You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You see a 60-minute news team waiting in your office. Your birthday cake collapsed from the weight of the candles. You turn on the news and they showing emergency routes out of the city. Your twin sister forgets your birthday. You wake up to discover that your water bed broke, and then realize you don't have a water bed. We need to thank God for America. We need to thank God for every day that we walk on this God-gifted earth that He's given us. With all the trouble that we are having around in all the states because of this this virus is going around in 19 and everything. I mean, and even in the streets, they talking about, I'm going to say what they say. They are talking more about saying that Black Lives Matter. It's not just Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. And all lives are there going through the troubles and the trials. You know, if we didn't have the so-called young people, the teens in the 20s and the 30s, I hear ranting and raving and tearing up this and tearing up that and breaking in places and tearing everything up around them. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. And the healing, here it is, they say that the whites has kept everything from them. No, it ain't the whites. It's the black. The whites do the white and the black do the black. What's the matter? What is the matter in the shape that this world got into? Well, I'm going to say something here. You may not agree with me, but that's okay. But I searched it out by scripture. I searched it out down through the road, through the years and everything. And I have come up with one conclusion of it all. Where we must remember the first Thanksgiving that the pilgrims had made. And they didn't have the Thanksgiving of where they had gathered together. And then people start up, well, he got a little more than I got. Well, you know, I'm trying to hit some young beans. I didn't see them, but they got them all. Complaining. That's all we do is complain. We should be people without any complaints at all. But we do. We complain for this. We complain for that. And I look at it and I said, well, if you complain, you can end your own complaining. Hallelujah. If you don't watch it, you're going to end up complaining for something the Lord has done for you. Because you've got the complaint built up in you and you've got to release it. The pilgrims had come to their new land. They experienced a good harvest, but they also experienced many hardships. In spite of losing half their number, they gave thanks. Habakkuk vowed to thank God in a hymn. He loved God enough to thank Him in his distress. How can a person be thankful in the midst of difficulty? How can people be happy today with all the what's going on and what's not going on? How can people be happy like that? But they can. You know, you can tell you how. When we start thinking about this and that, that will get us away from God and get us away from His Word. We need to start thinking about what God has done for us. I need to thank God every day for what He does for me, each and every day. Yeah, maybe in the morning I may not be able to get up and I may not be able to walk alone. I may have to have a walker. I may have to have a cane, a wheelchair, and all that other stuff. But I need to thank the Lord that He's allowed me to be able to get up and put my feet forward and be able to pick up one of these instruments. You know, there was a time in history, times back, when the walker was not nowhere around, where the canes was not around, where even the doctors was not around, they weren't that plentiful. Yes, the doctors, they had to go and they had to give birth to a child, and they had to go and they had to do this and do that for their family. They had to learn about the body of an individual. They had to learn that so they could doctor upon that. But this day and time you got now, you can't go to a regular doctor and he look at your nose and see why your nose is bleeding. You got to go to a specialist. Every doctor I guess today is a specialist. And that's pitiful. I'll say this much. A doctor that's in the field of a veterinarian knows more about the human body today than the wealthiest doctor and surgeon I hear. Because if they don't specialize in what you got, you can hang it up. Because they're gonna send you out with a bunch of papers. You gotta have this field, you gotta have that field, and everything. And I'm talking about that. An individual that I know of, his daughter, she lives down in on the other end of Georgia. And not well going into California, but the other end, like going into all Alabama, Mississippi, and all of that. But she has come, she says she has never provided no medication to her family. The only medication that she provides is the stuff that's grown from the ground. That's come from the Amazon, overseas and everywhere. And all that, and you talk about all of that. You talking about having to travel. Yeah. You know that the commercial that comes on TV all the time? The man up in, Minnesota, I think it is. The pillar man, the pillar. And he went out here, he made it's a foam type cushion that is for the bed. And he says the only place that he can purchase the cotton that goes in the pillows is over in the Nile River and up beyond there and everywhere. He has to have the purest cotton that there is on earth. The purest of cottons. He says that cotton gives off cool out when it's hot, when it's cold, the same cotton gives off a little heat. But he has to go across into the world, into the Amazon, to where nothing has ever been. And they show where he traveled there one day to really check your things out and what they told him. And it was three other people with him. And it was a guy driving the vehicle. It was a vehicle I ain't never seen before. Didn't know anything about it. Wasn't nothing like it. Didn't know how to start or drive, nothing. But they went out there, they drove. And they drove and they drove for hours and hours to get to one place where the cotton was there. And it was not nothing else around it. It wasn't no trees around it. It was just cotton. I tell you, this God has provided for us as individuals to look upon Him and feast upon His land for our health. I believe the big, I'm old enough to know my wife, she's going to probably disagree with her. That's all right, I'm good. But as far as doctors, I have not got one doctor of out of the 9 or 10 that I see that has come and told me, said, everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be okay. And you may get a little better, and you may not. They don't even tell me that no more. They give me the choice of transplants. They give me choice of this, choice of that. The only transplant, I've had a transplant before. And that was a heart transplant. But you see no scars on my body to where the heart was transplanted. It was transplanted by God the Father through His precious Son. But the vows that we have. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my strength. Thank God that He does not change. I know that God does not change. Amen. It's not because He came right where I was at and He came and He stood me in a figure of Him and says, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I never change. The conditions on this earth, the way people have gotten, they think that they can just go out here and they can just rob somebody. They go out here, shoot a policeman. They go out here and go to the council or the board or somewhere like that and say, we're going to defund the police department. We're going to defund this and we're going to defund that. What do they want? Do they want anarchy? Do they want? I mean, I've heard two individuals say something in the last month about what I'm about ready to say. Says, unless something changed, real quick, that's going to be martial law. There's going to be martial law for each one of the individuals. And when we have martial law, you talking about, and you talk about Russia, you talk about China, and all these other countries is just doing what they want to do. We can't do it. And that's what Habakkuk was telling Israel. That's what he was telling his people back then. And our people today are telling the same thing today. That we're in such a troublesome times. We know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says what? That men would be lovers of men. Women would be lovers of women. That's what it says. Sin is on a rampage. Sodom is on a rampage. It ain't no homosexuals or lesbians, that is the thing I hear. As sodomites. God condemned that. And that's what God says they are. The economic conditions are prone to change. But we can be thankful. God does not change. Malachi 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, and are not consumed. Habakkuk 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forevermore. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest thing that we can thank God for, and if we're going to ever do any thanking God about anything, we need to thank God for his holy salvation. Because his salvation is holy. His salvation deserves our honor. But people today, I mean, I can remember one time walking up a street, on Main Street, with my grandmother, and a man would be coming down the street walking, but he'd been drinking. But he would cross to the other side of the street before he got to us, because he didn't want to be around somebody the way he had been drinking. But today, do you think they're concerned about that? No, they don't kill. They drink. They tell lies. They can curse God. But them that curse God, they will die. And I hate for them that's going to be living in the life that they're going to be living. Like I said the other week, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that I said, salvation gives us eternal. We are with the Lord for eternity. We with the Lord forever and forever and forever. How long is forever? Eternity. And I also said this, and I haven't been saying it until lately, and I've been telling everybody about it, because I want to let them know that just because they're in another place, because what everybody out here thinks that don't have the salvation on them, that don't go to church, don't even say God's a prayer or anything, they are people that we speak to, that we try to talk to them. We try to get them saved. And we leave the word of prayer with them. And we'll leave a tract. Or we may give them a Bible or something like that. We'll give it to them, hoping that they'll read it. But that's wrong. They're not going to read it. If they was going to read it, then they would be in church. They'd be in here, in the services, saved and sanctified. But the ones that are not here, I know some has told me that they're saved, that they can take me to the place that they got saved. I said, well, that's good. I said, but what did God do for you? He said, God spoke to me. Yeah. Has he spoke to you anything at all about coming and supporting the local church? Not coming out and supporting a church that's overseas, that they just hand out, that they just pass out the prayers and everything and say, you're healed. You know what I tell them? I said, do you remember what I said the very first about heaven? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be with my Lord and my Savior from that day forward. Well, what about the end? There is no end. There is no end. What he said, well, you told me the same thing about if I was lost. I said, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you truly and truly repented of your sin and asked him to forgive you, that you would follow him, that you want to repent of your sin and you want to try your very best of what you can do, but you need God to help you, because you cannot let it. I could not let it when I first got saved. When I first got saved, yes, I made some mistakes. I said some things you weren't right. I was 30 years old at the time too. And I had a Sunday school teacher tell me, says, you was within the hairs of your last destiny. Because when you come to your last destiny, is that when you have met the Savior. And when He comes in, when He saves your heart, and He saves your soul, and He abodes within you, He lives within you, and talks with you each and every day. And if you can't feel that, and if you can't see that, and if you don't ever want to darken the door, if you don't ever want to be around God's people, never want to serve God like He's asked you to serve Him. I'm glad you got saved. That's me. Because I do believe this. An individual that has truly been born again of the blood that has cleansed us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Then we can look at God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me that I can go out here and I can do something for you today to make you happy. I cease to make my own self happy anymore. And I don't play on that anymore. I don't play on what God can do for me. I want God to do the same thing for you that's other and other people. But they said, why? Why is all this coming back? Ain't there purgatory? No, there ain't no purgatory. Purgatory don't start with an H. It's coming to two places. It's either heaven or hell. Well, if I go to hell, I'm going to be there forever. I'm going to be there for a while. I'm going to be there until the Lord just says, well, you have it. I'm just going to let you go in there. No. You ain't even know when the Lord speaks to you. Because the one reason is because that you, as an individual of God, the Father, learns from who? The Holy Spirit. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit that we come in contact with each and every day. We need to just thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank Him for His grace. And I thank Him right now that I was able to just stand. I don't know how long I'll stand, and I may fall coming down the steps. And I may fall going down the ramp. And I may roll the rest of the way. But I'm going to thank God anyhow. Why? Because God has given me the pain that I can feel, that I know that He's going to touch. You know, It's a joy just to know God. It really is. And I'm going to ask each one of you. Just 7-8 minutes past. You that will come this morning to the altar. I know that you have somebody that's on your heart, that you have been praying to God the Father.